Robert Clancy is an ecological restoration specialist with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. He says before Europeans came, southwest Michigan's landscape was dominated by savannas and prairies. But Clancy says that changed quickly after settlers moved in.
In fact, most savannas and prairies disappeared so quickly at the beginning and middle of the 1800s, most people didn't even record that they were ever here. So a lot of people don't realize that southern Michigan was defined by extensive prairies and savannas.
Instead of large deciduous trees that delight us with fall colors every year, Clancy says the landscape of the past included
a wide diversity of native plants, wildflowers, sedges, and other types of plants that worked and mixed in with the grass. So you'd have big open treeless landscapes.
The largely treeless landscape with extensive grasslands was quickly converted into farms after settlers arrived. In those areas where there were a lot of trees and the soil was less fertile, cities and towns emerged. Only about 0.1% of the estimated 2.5 million acres of prairies and savannas that once existed in southwestern Michigan remains. That's starting to change in some places, though, as restoration projects expand. They include habitat restoration underway at the Fort Custer State Recreation Area near Augusta and several other state parks. Heidi Free is the Southwest Michigan Natural Resources Steward for the Department of Natural Resources. She says there are several reasons why restoration is a good idea.
We're protecting and restoring habitat for the ecological purposes, but there's also, you know, the human reason too, the social aspect of it, that, you know, we're protecting these parks because there are folks that really like to come and birdwatch or use that resource too.
Clancy agrees, but he argues that habitat restoration also benefits people who never use the parks.
Every citizen of Michigan benefits from the natural resources that are protected within state parks, whether that's through economics, through tourism, or whether it's hunting, fishing, camping, nature-based recreation, birdwatching, and the like. People benefit from the use and enjoyment that state parks and these natural landscapes have to offer.
On a recent Saturday, Free met with volunteers who are helping with the Fort Custer restoration. With a steady rain falling through the trees, she talked about the project.
We do restoration in select parks and recreation areas around the state based on the presence of a species of conservation need, special habitat that we're looking to restore. For instance, the dunes, or here at Fort Custer Recreation Area, working to restore open oak barrens and prairie systems.
Free says volunteers do many things, from collecting seeds from native species and planting them in the spring to removing invasive non-native species. The Department of Natural Resources also uses another practice that's not always seen as a restoration tool, prescribed fire. Robert Clancy explains.
Most of these prairies and savannas were fire-dependent, so they didn't persist unless they got periodic fire through them.
Free recently organized a volunteer day at Fort Custer to help facilitate prescribed fire next spring.
Today we're stacking debris or slash that's been cut and ready for the volunteers to work with. That material is stuff that we'd like to kind of get out of the way. We're doing some pre-burn works, just some preparation so that when we do have a prescribed burn come through in this area, we don't produce the intense kind of heat that could make it unsafe.
Not unsafe for humans, Free says, but for the trees.
We want to make sure it's a low enough intensity fire that the oak trees and that some of the pines that can withstand a natural fire don't have that high heat from the extra fuel. So we're just trying to emulate a natural fire regime in this park.
Many people may perceive fire as a threat, but Clancy explains that when used correctly, it has many benefits.
When I say prescribe fire, it's just like a doctor might prescribe medicine. He does it for a certain reason and gives you a certain dose under certain conditions.
Despite rain and cold weather, volunteers came ready to lend a hand restoring the prairies. One is Joseph McIntosh, a student at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek. McIntosh, who's majoring in environmental studies, says he came out for several reasons.
I wanted to take the opportunity to get myself better versed in the field and also to make an impact on my local environment that really means a lot to me and my family. And this is an opportunity for me to get to do those things and have a good time, rain or shine.
Free says the work at Fort Custer wouldn't happen without dedicated volunteers like McIntosh.
Restoration, it's a long process. You know, this didn't happen overnight. We've got some other areas that we've been working on for several years, and with fire, invasive species removal, with volunteer efforts, you know, we've made big changes just in this park.
Restoration efforts will not recreate Southwest Michigan's landscape of centuries past, but the Department of Natural Resources and enthusiastic volunteers say they hope they're making significant changes in state parks that produce ecological and social benefits. You'll find a link to more information about habitat restoration in Southwest Michigan at our webpage, wmuk.org. For WMUK, I'm Brian Peterson.